go to the Word of God this morning. If you have your Bible, we'll be in James chapter 1. James chapter 1. And, of course, the Scripture is going to be on the big screen. You can also, Roger will have this on the website. You can go there and click on get the notes and what we're saying. You can do that for both messages. You can also go tomorrow and hear messages that are streaming podcast and hear them again. Or you might hear something. You say, hey, can you go to our website and click on it? And it's crystal clear. It's beautiful. Anywhere in the world. And pretty cool. The book of James. I'm going to do a new little series here in this early service starting today. I call it Rough and Real. Can you say that with me? Rough and Real. One more time. Rough and Real. A lot of people think the Bible is for, and I did this when I first, you know, I wasn't a Christian. I thought, you know, that's sissy stuff. You know, that Christian stuff, that's for sissies. You know what I'm saying? That's because I was an idiot. I didn't realize what tough men were in the Bible. Incredible. Strong men. Huh. James was one of those men. Most people don't know James. Half-brother of Jesus. Pastor at the church at Jerusalem. Half-brother of Jesus. He did not even really, far as we know, want to have anything to do with Jesus until after Jesus had resurrected. You think you got, you think, you know, and you say you got problems with your family? Jesus had problems with his family. You understand? Say. Yeah. Can you imagine growing up with Jesus? You ever had a goody two shoes in your family? You want to hit them? Can you imagine growing up with Jesus? Say. And his family basically rejected him. That's what, you know, that's, you know, it's hard to see it all in the Scripture, but you do get glimpses of that from time to time. James, rough and real, tough talk from the book of James. It's a five-chapter book. Can you say five chapters with me? Five chapters. When I first became a Christian, I was a hell-raising teen. I started going to youth group a night a week. And in those days, they had scripture competitions. Big churches where you'd go and teenagers from the different churches would represent the church and you'd get a trophy and all that kind of stuff. Well, I was always an athlete and competitive, and I still am very competitive. If I'm doing something, I'd like to win. Why not? Amen? Say. So, I didn't know a thing about the Bible, and they picked this real spiritual girl to represent our church. You know, knew the Bible and all that stuff, and they picked me. I didn't know anything about the Bible, but they knew Smarty over here could handle it all. Right? Sure they did. So I didn't know the Bible. I didn't know anything. I just got saved. I'm still cussing and stuff. You know what I'm saying? It messed up. So she and I got together, and she said, the questions are going to come from the book of James. You need to read it and understand the book of James. And I thought, well, why can't we just memorize it? Five chapters, so if they ask a question, we just quote the thing to them. So that's what we did. We memorized the book of James. So out of the gate, I newly got saved. Didn't realize what God had for me. But He was placing in my heart right away this Word of God. Amen? And of what book in the Bible would He place this tough book that could smack me upside the head? Amen? So I memorized it. Now, I don't have it memorized now. I'm going to try over the next couple of months to try to rememorize at least a large part of this book again. But over the years, I've been able to call to memory these phenomenal verses in the book of James. Amen? How about this one? Every good and perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights, and Him is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Isn't that a great verse? Amen? Isn't that good? The tongue's an unruly evil, full of what? Deadly poison. See verses from the book of James. So let's go into the book right now, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 16. Let's check it out. Tough talk, rough and real. And it's weird how he starts out the book. Let's pop it up. Here we go. He talks about suffering, and we got a fly, Rod. Suffering can knock you out. Do you know that? Say. So James, right out of the gate, he's going to talk about suffering. How many have ever quit or knew somebody who quit on God because bad something happened in their life? Guess who you can say. Sure. Pansy. That's what James is saying. You're going to quit because hard times come. Grow up. That's how he starts his book. Let's check it out. We've been duped into believing that the Christian life is to be free from trials and hardships.
I'm a Christian.
Yeah, get ready. A truck's about to hit you. When many Christians, especially immature Christians, face suffering, trials, and persecutions, they just what? Give up. Come on. They quit. They blame God. They blame the church or whatever. Is that true or not? You ever blame God? Raise your hand. Don't lie. You ever blame somebody else? Come on. You ever blame the church? Come on. How many have done that? Sure. Lady back there, both hands. Amen. I'm hearing you, ma'am. The idea that we're not going to have tremendous difficulties is totally, say it with me, anti, I believe the Bible. If you believe the Bible, you better believe a truck's about to run over you. And Satan's going to be the conductor because he's coming after you. Oh, I can't believe it. That's Bible, friend. Jesus didn't give us the Holy Spirit so we just all hang out and party all the time. Amen? Or the Word of God, men who gave their lives so that we could have this precious book. He didn't do that because it's going to be a cakewalk or a picnic. Amen? Must be some hard times coming. And they are. How many have had some extremely hard times in your life? Can I see your hand? I guess we're right, aren't we? So that's what this book's about. All right? And to think anything different is crazy. All right, let's keep moving, Raj. We're going to get to the Bible here soon. Suffering comes from five major sources. Now, I'm not going to talk about all this. Just put them up on the screen. Satanic activity. Ungodly men and women will cause you trouble. The world system that we live in can cause you trouble. Our own fallen nature. You dealt with that one lately? Yeah. Carnal Christians. You mean Christians can hurt other Christians? Are you kidding? Absolutely. Suffering, trials, hardship, persecution. This is where James begins his letter. Shoot, he's run all of us off right out the gate, ain't he? Who wants to read his book? That's where I got started as a Christian, the book of James. Now, a lot of us tell folks when they get saved, start in the book of John. I'll be honest with you, that's a better place to start than the book of James. Because you might pick up the book of James and go, heck no, I'm going back home. Amen? But don't you want to be real? Don't you want to be tough for God? Say, don't you want, when the stuff starts coming, don't you want to be able to say, I made it? You know? James wants you to make it. That's what he wants you to do. And so he's tough. Half-brother of Jesus. Here he goes. We're going to look at James 1 through 16, and we're going to make it. We've got 15 minutes to do it, and we can do it, Raj. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. I'm going to break it down a little different than I do to some messages, but we're going to just walk it out. Let's check it out. Servant. If I'd have wrote the book and I'd have been the half-brother of Jesus, it would have been, Gary, the half-brother of Jesus, get out of my way. I'm coming through. Not James. He was humble. He said, I'm a bond slave of Jesus. I'm a servant of Jesus. And you know what? We're going to talk about suffering this morning. And that's one of the first things that you're going to have to do and I'm going to have to do. If we're going to suffer and we're going to make it through our suffering, we've got to have a humble spirit. I can't believe this happened to me. I can't. Look at me. Look at me. You're never going to make it like that. When you suffer, realize, hey, there ain't nothing new under the sun. You're not going through something that somebody else ain't going through. You can make it. They made it. You can make it. But you're not going to make it thinking you're all that. Right? Yes or no? You're going to make it on your face. It's not a time for you to run away from God. It's a time for you to humble yourself before God. That's what I see as he starts his letter. To the tribes which are scattered. What does that mean? These believers who had believed in Jesus, they were being run out of town. They were being hunted down like dogs. They were being killed. They were scattered everywhere. They used to live here, but they can't live there anymore because they've been hunted down like a dog. Somebody needed to write to them. They needed help. How are we going to make it, man? We don't have anything to eat. We're hated. Our own family hates us. James said, I'm going to help you. I'm going to help you know how you can make it. It's going to be tough. And I'm not going to have any mercy on you. Okay? I'm not going to pat you on the head. Poor baby. Poor baby. I tell you what, all hell's breaking loose. The poor baby talk don't cut it. You got it? Yes or no? When they're hunting you down like a dog and you got to run for your life. You better listen to me, James says. You okay? Verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations or horrible testings or persecution or trials or hardship. What is he saying? Let's look. Come on, help me now. Hang up here with me. Okay? Count it all joy. This is about suffering. About people who've been scattered. Count it all joy. Are you kidding me? That's why so many Christians fade. Something happens. Something doesn't go just right. Preacher didn't shake your hand. You get all bent out of shape. Well, have at it. It's a mean world out there. You really do need Jesus. And you really do need each other. I'm telling you that right now. You better buck up. Count it all joy. What does that mean? The word joy means, say it with me, to what? Leap! Wait a minute, let me get it straight. I'm suffering, I'm hurting, and you're telling me to leap. Have you lost your mind? I'm supposed to leap! Yeehaw! I get to suffer for Jesus! Amen! What a goofy, off-the-wall thing to say. Right? Unless it's true. Now, if it's true, now we need to look at it, right? Count it all joy. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. This is what he says. He says right out of the gate, I know you're hurting. I know you're suffering. I know you're struggling. It's incredible what you're going through. But, you know, I could pat you on the head or I could just get you by the collar and shake you and tell you this is what you got to do, man. It's going to make it. And James just decided, I'm going to get you by the collar. I'm going to tell you what to do, man. It's going to make it. So that's how he deals with us. Amen? I love this little book. So let's look what he says. Why leap? Why leap? Let's look at the scriptures. Why leap when I'm suffering? Why should I be happy when I suffer? Now this is crazy, ain't it? Say, how many have suffered intense pain, intense problems in your? Can I see your hand? I'm talking, it hurts you so bad you couldn't even hardly breathe. You're telling me I'm supposed to leap and be happy? Why? 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 He don't want you to fake it. Why? Well, he's going to tell you why. Here we go. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. Faith. Faith. Why leap? Here's why you should leap. Pop it up. It's going to allow you to exercise your faith. Say that with me. It's going to allow you to exercise your faith. I mean, honestly, do you exercise your faith when things are going great or not? Say, are you just usually like most people and you're skating? That's what we do, man. But when you suffer, is that when you exercise your faith? Can I see some hands if that's what you do when you suffer? Come on. Yes, you do. So is that a good thing for you to exercise your faith? Yes or no? I get to exercise my faith in God in a greater way than I've ever done before. Then if that's connecting me to God and my faith is in Him stronger and I'm going to Him more, then that's probably a good thing. If you got an idea in your mind, here's a God of heaven and Jesus at the right hand of God the Father, and the Holy Spirit's working in your life, communicating and helping you pray and helping you take that to Jesus, then that must be a good thing. Weird, though, ain't it? So that's why you should leap. How about this one? But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Why should I leap when I'm suffering? Look at the second reason. Why leap? It's going to bring about what? Patience in your life. And we got a screwy idea of what patience is. The word patience means endurance. 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 It's going to help you become a person who is stronger. It's going to help you endure. It's going to make you tougher and stronger. And that's one of the rewards of working out with weights and exercise, riding a bike, you know, especially if you ride a lot. But one of the rewards of that is then you get to go further. You get to carry more weight. You know what I'm saying? Practice being on a ball team. Why practice? Why practice? Why practice? Because you can see yourself getting better. And the competition, you start to see yourself competing more effectively and even beating the competition. It's called endurance. So if suffering causes me to be a person who can endure, is that a good thing or a bad thing? It's a good thing. But we still want to pat on the head and just make it go away, right? Sure we do. It ain't going away. So we could lie to you and pat you on the head, or we can say, suck it up. See the good. Okay? That's what James is choosing to do. Because he knows those that hate the Christians, when he wrote this book, he knew they'd be coming after him the next morning. He knew they weren't relenting. They were going to be after them, after them, after them, after them, after them, after them, after them. So he had to give them something real. Got it? Are y'all all right this morning? Are we doing okay? Okay. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be what? Perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Why should you leap when you're hurting so bad and suffering? It'll make you a mature Christian. You left a word out. It will mature you as a Christian. I've lost my mind. You had it right. Sorry, buddy. I can't see half the time. It will mature you as a Christian. The suffering is going to mature you. That's what the word perfect means. It doesn't mean perfect. It means perfect you. It means it will make you. It will mature you. Now, you can choose to just dwell on the suffering. And trust me, I'm an expert at this. On dwelling on the suffering. Okay? You and me can choose to do that, or we can choose to see some good things that God's doing in our life through the suffering. Amen? You know when you suffer. How many agree with me? When you're suffering, when you're hurting, you have more of a direct line with God. You're just, I mean, it's just the way it is. Is that right? Is that true or what? I mean, some of the things you used to fool around with, the little sins you did, they just like go out the window, don't they? It doesn't even matter right then, does it? Say. And it's maturing you. That's good. That's what James is saying. Let's keep looking. Why leap? If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Why leap when I'm suffering? Here's why. It's going to cause you to seek godly wisdom. Is that a good thing any day when you try to seek God's wisdom? Is that a good thing any day? Yes or no? Absolutely. When you're suffering, you're at the end of your rope. You messed up. You don't have the answers. You have to go outside of yourself. That's why you got to be humble, like we said at the beginning. And you can start to seek godly wisdom. What am I to do, God? How am I to make it? How can I handle this? What does your word say? What are others that I can see in your word who've struggled with suffering? Can you teach me? Can I learn? Can you help me? And you know what? He goes, sure can. Sure can. I can sure help you. Help you make some wise decisions. I'm going to teach you through this. I'm not saying God causes bad things to happen to people. We're going to see that in just a minute. But do bad things happen to people? Yes or no? Absolutely. So the option is I can pat you on the head. That ain't going to help you. We can wish it all away,
it ain't going away.
Or we can say, you can leap. You can jump for joy because of the relationship it's going to cause you to have with your Savior. Now, that's an option many don't choose. But that's what James says is really your only option. You understand? Feel like I've lost you. Y'all right? Okay. I'm like, feel like I'm talking to the wall sometimes. That's where I'm at. I'm the wall half the time. Here we go. Why leap? But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Why leap? There's something else that's going to happen. It's going to cause us to pray how? Now, how many, before you went through suffering, it was like, now lay me down to sleep, pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, pray the Lord my soul to take. But when you suffer, you get in the fetal position, and you roll up into a ball, and you cry. See the difference, yes or no? Do you think the Lord would prefer the, nah, lay me down to sleep, or do you think He'd rather have us rolling up into the ball and crying out to Him for help? Hell, He you know, He hates the mess we go through, but He loves it when we cry out to Him. And that's a good thing. Is that a good thing? That's a good thing. Keep looking. Just some scriptures, I'll read them. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. If you think you can, you know, it's going to be a cakewalk and you're going to try to pray a little bit too, forget about it. Forget about it. Forget about it. I'm talking about real suffering. You have to do what the man's saying. Then it says this, this is interesting, let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he's exalted. What does that mean? Basically, that scripture says, you know, if you're poor and you have nothing, or if you've been treated like crud, but the fact that God loves you, even though you feel this way and people have made you feel this way, the fact that God loves you and He exalts you, He looks at you differently, that ought to make you happy. Instead of focusing on how bad you've been mistreated, think about how bad you've been mistreated. At the same time, think about how much He's lifted you up. Does that make any sense? It's hard to see Him when it's all happening, though, isn't it? Because we think He's over here and made us low. No. He's exalted you. You've been made low by others. Look at this next thing. The rich that He's made low. Because as the flower of the grass, he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass thereof, and the flower thereof falls, and the grace of the fashion of it perishes. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. What is that saying? If you're rich and you lose everything, everything, but you still have God, that's a good thing. Because all that stuff that you had anyway is going to fade away anyway. You understand? Yes or no? He's trying to make the point. I got to run, Rog. I'm out of time. Blessed is the man that endures temptation. For when he's tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love Him. Why leap? Because you're going to be able to experience true happiness. In the midst of all your crap, excuse me, you're going to be able to have a peace that passes understanding. And you're going to know it was God, because there's no way I can be happy. But you find yourself happy. Listen, you find yourself happy and you know everything else has been stripped away. It must be God that's carrying me. Is that a good thing or what? You see how this could be positive? When he's tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love Him. Why leap? Why leap? Because you're going to get a crown for enduring one day. You're going to see your Savior one day. And He's going to say, instead of getting patted on the head, instead of bailing, You endured. You listened to my half-brother. And that's a good thing. Here's your crown. Think you might leap then? Say, wow! Finally, don't make the big mistake, and I'm late this morning. Don't make the big mistake. We're going to finish the last several verses. What's the big mistake? Blaming God. When you suffer, when I suffer, the big mistake is to blame the very one that can help you out of this mess. Got it? Look what he says. Let no man say when he's tempted, when I've been persecuted, when I've been hurt, when I'm having hardship, let no man say when that happens, I'm tempted of God. God did this to me. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither does he tempt any man like that at all. Don't think that way. That's crazy. But every man is tempted, tried, hardships, problems. And that can draw you away. How does it draw you away? Because of your own lust. And you're enticed. The word means trapped. Suffering can come in your life. And because of that, it can take on a life of its own and become a snare for you and a trap. And you blame God. And you're caught. Ah! Be careful. Then when lust hath conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, say it with me, brings forth what? I found me a new scripture. Oh, I've had it before. Just brought it back to mind this week. Better is a living dog than a dead lion. Yeah. Better is a living dog than a dead lion. Once you're dead, you're dead. Amen? I'm a big old king of the jungle. Look at him. You dead. The old dead dog going, I'm a living dog. I know I'm just a scrawny old mangy mutt, but you dead. You see what I'm... That's in the book of Ecclesiastes. So look, don't die in your suffering. Amen? Come on. It brings forth death. And in this last verse, verse 16, can you say it with me? Do not err, my beloved brethren. You know what James is saying? You better listen to what I'm telling you. You better listen to what I'm telling you. I say, come in the morning. And they're going to be knocking on your door and they're going to burn your house down. You better listen to what I'm telling you. It's tough. It's rough. It's real. But it works. Amen? Suffering, trials, hardship, persecution, expect it to happen. It's going to happen. Anything else is craziness. Keep looking. Commit yourself to God from the very beginning. When you start to enter the suffering, boom! Commit to God right then. Got it? And don't become a self-made martyr. What do I mean? You can get in your little thing and you can pity and whine and mess like that. And everybody around you, they're going to feel sorry for you too because it is horrible. But that's not going to help you. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. Make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way. But let it rather be what? Healed. Isn't it good? Come on. Say it with me. Can you say it loud? Come on. Leap! Can you do better than that? One more time. Leap! All right, come on, get on up. Praise God. Amen. Let's thank Him for His Word this morning. That's a good word right there. That was good for the preacher today. Amen! The book of James. How many felt like you got hit in the mouth? Good. I love it when a man shoots straight, baby.